So, I don't know about you, but I often find it very easy to get distracted in life, especially spiritually distracted. Now, of course, in one sense, over this past year, COVID has taken away many of our normal distractions. I haven't been able to do many of the things that I usually fill my time with. No tennis, no golf, and sadly, of course, no skiing either. In theory, I should have had far more time and space to focus spiritually. And yet, in my experience, that's been easier said than done. In fact, the pressure over this last year on our emotional and mental health has, in many ways, been greater than ever. It hasn't been easy to discern God's ways, to hear God's voice, to keep our eyes, as the author of Hebrews suggests, fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Well, if that's been our experience, if that's been your experience as well as mine, the encouraging news is that we're in good company. Peter, as we see in our reading in Mark 8, he managed to allow himself to become distracted also. We're here at this really pivotal point in the Gospel, Mark chapter 8, and Jesus is beginning his journey towards Jerusalem, to Easter and to Holy Week, this season that Lent leads us up to. And he sets his face at this point towards Jerusalem, to his own suffering, to his rejection at the hands of men, even to his death on a cross, to these events that change the course of history and, of course, can change each of our lives still today. And Peter, like we sometimes do, he misses it. He doesn't quite get it. And Jesus has to challenge him really directly. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with human concerns. I've got lots of them, and I'm sure you're no different. Many of those are entirely reasonable and justifiable. But it's just possible that some of those very human concerns might be holding us back from keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And Lent has always been a time in the church's calendar where we endeavour to refocus a little bit, where for 40 days we try and move our focus away from those human concerns and to the concerns of God as we prepare ourselves for this holy experience of Easter week. How might we go about doing that this Lent? Well, first, slow down. Now, if you know me, you'll know that that's not an easy thing for me. Anybody that is sort of fairly close to me knows that there's something of a competitive edge. I like to achieve, to get ahead, to get results, to get things done. There's sort of hints of hurry and haste about various aspects of my life. I don't know about you, in the supermarket, I'll be the person who's moving from one checkout line to the other because it looks shorter. It looks like it's going to move faster. In traffic, when I'm driving, if we're on the motorway particularly and there's lots of traffic, I'll be the one weaving in and out of the lanes to try and always get in the one that looks like it's going to move fastest. Or when we used to live in London, we were very close to Gloucester Road Tube, and I'd get to the top of Gloucester Road Tube, and it was a station where you were able to look down the stairs and see the platform beneath you. And I'd be the one leaping down the stairs to catch the train that had just pulled into the platform, or rather than waiting for 2 minutes more for the next one to come along behind. And I'm also the sort of person that finds myself getting irrationally irritated and angry when others get to go ahead of me. As one author writes, John Mark Comer, some of my worst moments are when I'm in a hurry. Some of my worst moments are when I'm in a hurry. If I'm in a hurry, then it's unlikely that I'm going to be properly present. Hurry, of course, can push people away. Peter's rushing around trying to get God's work done. And like Peter, I don't always stop to fully listen before opening my mouth at times. As Jesus says to those of us who want to follow him here in this passage, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Lent encourages us to change the pace of our life a little, to refocus our eyes on Jesus. And so I'm going to try, or I am trying, to slow down a little. I'm intentionally going to stand in the longer checkout queue when I was in Sainsbury's on Saturday, trying to use the time to pray, to listen to God. Experimenting with physically moving a little bit more slowly. I don't know whether you can ski a little bit more slowly intentionally. Allowing ourselves to enjoy our surroundings, take in what is happening, listen to God, try and discern God's concerns and his ways for our lives. So the first Lent theme might be slow down. The second one would be avoid distraction. Technology, we all love technology. Technology is meant to save us time, to make us more efficient and more effective. And of course, in this past year, it has come to the rescue in many ways as we've tried to keep our jobs and our relationships going. It's also made possible these excellent gatherings for our services week by week. And yet, if we're not careful, technology can lead us to being more distracted than ever, especially spiritually distracted. Take the iPhone. Well, the iPhone only appeared, can you believe it, in 2007, just after my first child was born, which doesn't seem all that long ago. And yet it's now at the heart of the reality of the digital age in which we live. Apparently, the average iPhone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times a day. And the average amount of time spent on an iPhone is 2.5 hours per day. And I'm as guilty as anyone. It's very difficult to resist the temptation, a quick check of BBC News, BBC Sport, the weather app, reacting instantly to the latest Twitter notification or WhatsApp message alert on my phone. I even went through a phase a while back of playing Candy Crush on my phone whenever I was traveling on trains, when of course I could have been spending a little bit of time praying, reading scripture, listening to the Spirit. And the issue is that these things are, they're forming and shaping us, sometimes without us even realizing it. Over time, what we give our attention to is the sort of person that we will become. As Jesus reminds us here, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? And so I'm attempting once again to try and avoid digital distraction this Lent, to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. So Lenten themes of slow down, avoiding distraction, and finally develop habits of purpose. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep in mind the concerns of God rather than human concerns, to be mentally and emotionally healthy, to be spiritually alive, then we will need to build habits of purpose in our lives. What does Jesus say here to those that would follow him? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, those sorts of ideas are nothing new. Lent is an annual reminder that if we're going to flourish spiritually, we'll need to draw on some of the ancient patterns, the ancient spiritual disciplines, what are often talked about as modern day rules of life. There was one writer that I was reading recently who's got this new approach to sort of old patterns. He recommends 4 daily habits and 4 weekly ones, and I've been experimenting with 1 or 2 of them. He talks about kneeling to pray 3 times a day. It's that act of kneeling, that act of submitting ourselves to Christ's authority, trying to start the day with the Bible before the technology, the Bible before the phone, and to try and manage the technology, to trying to spend 1 hour a day with no technology whatsoever. That one's particularly challenging for me. And then weekly, 1 hour of conversation with a friend, being intentional about 1 hour of conversation with a friend. That's something that's been really important to me in these challenging times of COVID, when it's been so difficult to be in touch with people in the normal ways. Fasting, trying fasting from something for 24 hours and dealing with Sabbath properly, 1 day a week as a real proper day of rest. Now these habits are never an end in themselves. It's not about slowing down or avoiding distraction or developing discipline. It is about finding God, restoring our soul, and flourishing in life. It's about being available, being spiritually alive, being open to the concerns of God rather than to our human concerns. It's about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And we need that. We really need that, because life and faith is not always easy. Life, as many of us have experienced, particularly over this last 12 months, can be tough, it can be challenging, it can be costly. And Lent is this brilliant reminder that Jesus has gone ahead of us. He journeyed to Jerusalem on our behalf, if you like, so that we don't need to. Yes, we're called to take up our cross and follow him. But the really encouraging thing is that we're able to do that because Christ went before us, because Christ was willing himself to go to the cross. Jesus gave up his life so that our lives might be saved, our failures forgiven, our freedom assured. And so as we journey through Lent this year, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, to remember that he has gone there before, and it's he that makes it possible for us to follow him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as a little response to some of those thoughts that I've shared there, I'd love you to listen to, almost as a prayer, if you like, to this old, quite old hymn with this beautiful chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus as we listen to this recording.
And love.